Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. I praise you, glorify, magnify you with all my heart. Sovereign, omnipotent, omniscient, righteousness. Father, I glorify you. And I thank you for the fullness of your grace. And because of it, the blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. Hallelujah. I thank you for the fullness of it. I exalt you, extol you, lift you up, Lord God Almighty, on high. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory. Hechad. Hechad. Worshiping him a lot more before you see the revival will affect him and you a whole lot more than worshiping him after it's already done. The one had faith in it. What's your main reason for worshiping in him? Why? What's the main reason? He's worthy. When I first went in the closet to endeavor, I was trying to figure out how to talk to him to convince him that I wasn't going to do this to try to get anything out of him. I did. I tried to talk him. I'm not here to try to get anything. I'm not here trying to get anything. This is why I'm coming in here. Because I want to tell you. See, I already know you love me. I already know that. So I'm not after nothing. It's my turn. I want to tell you. I want to. How much that I love you. I used to wonder how to pray past something. Somebody you're believing for with all your heart, all you know, to be raised up from the dead. I've seen maybe 6 times. 3 of them was Steve. First 3 times he died. And the others was a hospital, a woman here, and someone somewhere else. Well, when you pray and then it's quite obvious that while everybody's there, they're not coming back. And finally, they take them where they're supposed to take them to prepare them for us. Burial. Said, how do I pray through this time? Till it's made final, then I change maybe the way I talked to him after that for a while. But see, I'll worship him and thank him all the way through for raising him from the dead. I said, I thank you so much that you have raised him from the dead. God, I glorify you for it. Why? Because he has. He has. He did it 2,000 years ago. And I'm thanking him with all my heart that he did that 2,000 years ago. He already done his part. So I'm not going to stop until... So yes, I thank him. I'm looking forward to the day of stopping funeral processions. Let's get some of this formaldehyde back into blood. Come on. We have some great days. I mean, some great days ahead of us. But you got to stay away from quite a few of the books. Like, you know, don't read too much of what Paul wrote. If you don't think there's going to be a fight, just leave them out. Well, he's... when I say this, I mean it in a good way. He's messed me up again, because when the love of God began to manifest, he began to teach me how to approach him as a father, and I found out that's the least thing I knew anything about. Didn't know how. I knew how to fend for myself. Been doing that since the early teens. So, step by step, he just opened that up in a manner of speaking. And I'm getting closer and closer to something. But there's a part of the teaching that I've been, you know, skirting around a little, as to when to give it and what to say. Because this is the first time I got to see the war part. I've seen where the revival would take place when I was 30 years old. A semi-remodeled bowling alley at the front that was condemned and closed. We fixed the front and trying to meet with a few people in there for prayer and things. And that's where I got me a little secure closet and outlasted my flesh praying in tongues just to survive the hours my big mouth committed me to when I was excited. I told Earl Hitson, you know, on one of the trips, driving me to a meeting, after they began, I told him what I saw. Earl Hitson, you know. That Earl used to teach. I saw holiness. You should have heard some of my early speech. You're not going to wear breeches to my meeting, I'll tell you that. But, and no earrings. And I'm not talking to men. Poor women, it's just grouping to try to dress themselves up some way. So I said, well, you get that little watch off of your ear. You know you can't read it from there. So I had a real ultra holiness like that. So when I first met some believers there in Oak Ridge, Oregon, 30 years old, Earl was doing some teaching. Got his back healed, a whole bunch of things by just standing on the word. And so he's in there teaching. I'm sitting there. I'm holiness. He says, I'm not moved by what I see, hear, or feel. I'm only moved by what I believe. And I take the word of God as the final say so. He got up and tried to walk off again, fainted. He stood back up and said it again. Widowmaker hit him and broke him up when he sawed through it. That's a big tree that grows up under pressure. And you saw it at Barber Chairs and knocks you down the mountain. It knocked him. He couldn't walk or nothing. The pain was excruciating. His buddy, they're out there in twos, almost went crazy. He'd fall down on the ground, pass out, and get up and confess he was healed again. He'd do it make it 5 steps and fall down again. God, like that, introduce you to faith. He got done teaching that prayer meeting when he went. He left a little early. When he got out of the meeting, I don't think much of a religion that you can't feel. That was my opening teaching statement. Over, I'm not moved by what I see, hear, or feel. I'm only moved by, I don't have much use for a religion you can't feel. What a brilliant opening statement. So God assigned a role to be my teacher for faith. God, did we have a time? He used to teach and I'd want to jump up and grab his words and pull them out of him. Some windows on that side, chairs in front. I'm sitting there. Well, let me tell you about the day when my old man sent me out to catch the hog. Get the hog. He says, I got on the horse and run out and started chasing that big sow down. He says, I roped her and jerked, and suddenly she turns on the horse and comes in at a raving mad speed to waylay that horse. Watch his car go by. He knocked the horse down. I got the end of the rope and ran and tied it to 3 freestanding posts. Then I run for the fence as fast as I could hear her going. She got done with that horse and came after me. And I turned around and the first post snapped. I tied it on it. I ran. And she kept coming. And finally I heard her right behind me and I turned around. And I felt like saying, get on with it, Earl. Get on with it. He said, I was trying to get out under the fence and she opened her mouth and put my face in it. And the hog. And he, I said, what? Oh, the last post held. It was during those days that I had an aerial view. It was a big, round building. Massive, round building. And there was a freeway system around it. And it looked like cars were trying to get there from everywhere. And I can't tell you if I knew about the Mabee Center before I moved here. I probably did. But when I first saw it, and I said, boy, that looks close. That's a big round building like I saw. And that was way back in the first year or so. But then, from what he taught me, from not giving up on praying in tongues and set the direction for my life, you can't sacrifice one key to glorify another one. You don't take and throw tongues away in the name of grace. It's the tongues will teach you how to believe more accurately and thoroughly in the grace. Don't throw nothing away. See? So in those days, when I was praying and prayed myself to a certain place. The book was born, this was born, that. Meetings got where I couldn't keep up with them. India, Brazil, Japan's on the list. I don't know else what. But just in the middle of the victory and more being saved all the time, and biggest harvest I've ever seen in one night was 200,000. And I know media will do more than that in half a day. Somewhere in the middle of it, he told me, look, I called you to soundness of doctrine, truth, sanity, soundness of mind, a revival that is so powerful that it'll convince even through demonstration of the power. And I called you to family. That last one. Well, I obeyed him. I accepted another meeting in India, and then I had to call back and tell him, I can't come. Took me a few years to clear everything. I got it clear and came back. Now, I didn't come home just to sit here the rest of my life. I could never make a move like that. Missing God? No. I heard him tell me what to do, and that was to come back. So, if I don't do what he says to do here, then I might as well just settle into the acceptable will and start booking meetings again. I can't live with that. See, I know what he wants. Now, from time to time, I get to see some things. I had an attempt of getting me to get into that move of sensationalism. Angels come every 15 minutes and sing to you and stuff like that. Everything gets gold dusted. Rubies falling from heaven. Real sensationalism stuff. Just, you know, if you want to follow that, that's all right. I don't, you know, can't make you do what you want. But I just like to see as many wheelchairs and crutches and everything stacked up as rubies. But anyway, during a time of the changing, that I went on one of my usual fasts that I wore everybody out on year after year after year. We're teaching on it again. How many people did I wear out? Gary, put your head up. Over about every eating season, December, getting ready for January, Thanksgiving, saved some of you a lot of pounds through the years. Hammering away at it. So it was, yes, some of those fasting seasons that the devil decided to step in when I was ready to turn and start looking for the greater move of things. Like, oh boy, we're getting close. Revival. Getting close. And so, just on, I don't know what day, the first time of, I was just worshiping and praying and tongues and fasting and even bugs look good. Catch up on them. Catch up. I mean, anything looked good. No, we made it. If the only time you can fast is when the world accommodates you. Oh, hey, everybody hide the food. Quit work. They're coming down this street today. Block it off. Don't anybody show an apple, a banana, not even a mint breath. So you can pass by and not be tempted, you poor little thing. The issue is overcoming all that, including yourself. There's a lot of feelings that's taken care of on this walk. That love that you don't have the privilege of, and fighting and destroying people. When you become accountable for that, things come to an end. You know. And so, well, I don't know how many days in, but all of a sudden, you should have heard it. It sounded like a New York symphony. Anyway, gospel songs, really loud. It went on and on, and I was at home this time. And I was loud, and I was going, what is this? And so I went and checked all the vents to see if somebody, a construction guy, left something in the vent or something, and it still turned on. I checked everything I could. Is it being piped over from the neighbors? I'd get 15 feet away from the house, and it'd start going down. It's got to be in the house. Day after day, night, I went in the closet and closed the door. Could hear it in there. So I finally went down, and Rosalie was on the computer, and I says, can you hear that music? And so she says, what music? I says, well, they're playing, it's a gospel song right now. She looks at me and says, no, can you? And I said, yeah. She said, what are they singing? And I listened for a minute. I said, can't you hear the trumpet sounding? I can hear. You can hear that. She goes, oh, I wouldn't tell anybody. Well, I went back and told the church, but we didn't make an issue out of it. No, I didn't know. Hey, I got some. At the same time, then gold dusting began to appear here. Different things. So the next year, on the fourth day, they came in again. Fourth day, they came in and they started singing songs, and it got louder and louder and louder and drove everything else out of my mind. I couldn't even think after a while. I think it was some kind of process of opening you up or something. So this got stronger and stronger until finally I couldn't hardly take it. I thank God for the day I prayed in tongues enough to get past that. I couldn't take it. Louder, louder. So I'm thinking, I'm going to pray in my mind. See, they can't read your thoughts. All they can do is scream at your spiritual ear, per se. But they can't hear your thoughts. So I'm thinking, I'm going to request a song and ask them if they'll sing it to see. What song shall I request? I know what. I'm thinking, God, can I do it this way? The oldest song on us, I'll gather at the river. So I'm, okay. Hey, could you sing Let's All Gather at the River? Oh boy, just a little pause and Let's All Gather at the River. So I'm thinking, now what, God? What now? So I'm thinking, okay, I know what I'll do. I'll request Ring of Fire by Johnny Cash. And that's what, so you know. I said, could you sing Ring of Fire by Johnny Cash? And that's in the room. Oh, I got some quiet for a while. I don't know why it was quiet for 5 or 6 minutes. I thought, oh, this is something. But now I'm convinced they had to go get an angel that could sing as low as Johnny Cash can. Because, boy, when that song came in, the taste of love is sweet. When two hearts like ours meet, I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, down, down. And boy, they were good. But I made my announcement. All right, devil. I don't have my own personal orchestra. You know. All right, devil. Get out. And he did. Well, the part I want to teach on, when I get a chance to do it, is what happened after that. Because what he showed me is another part of Satan's war machine. And although I didn't quite know how to handle things that came along, I do know that I found out a whole lot more so far to this point about family and mine. And I've seen him raise the dead several times to prevent things. And my own son, we got him back 3 times. Now, the most powerful weapon the devil has, most powerful, is deception. You don't want to know what's been neutralized by an arsenal full of weaponry that can only be fought by wisdom. Paul, addressing this era, said, "Why should you be amazed? Satan himself transforms himself as an angel of light. Look what that deception did." Problem is, we're not going to find in history anywhere where they affected, I mean, just really tore things up. I mean, they had revival. We're not going to find a group that was either destroyed during or got past. Some of our heroes, some of our really actually on the top heroes like William Branham. Oh my goodness, Him and Dowie both believed they were Elijah to come. The destruction wasn't pretty. Most of them made it to a height of revival that had to be destroyed. A lot of discrediting going on at the end of it. But he's not going to let me get by with just a, okay, you're going to be swept up into Wawa. He's showing me more of Satan's war machine because are we really going there? I don't think we're going to attract any less of his attention than they did. The devil. So in this part, if he's showing me the machine, which he's doing, it's because he's able to do it. If I see this machine and understand it, it's not stopping us either. We will be ready. Well, it has to do with a few things, and one of them, as you know, is the love of God. And I've never talked about the love of God in here. I probably wore you almost out as much as I did when I talked first about praying in tongues. Anything that even insinuates that cast all the fear out. Woo. I tell you, love must be the brother of faith. It must be the fuel it runs on when truth is the engine. Now, who could have the audacity to say something like, perfect love will cast out all fear, except the guy maybe that wrote the book of Revelation. You know why he's the one that wrote about all the judgment and all of that? Because he's free of it himself. What if I didn't have any fear? None. Not war, economy, disease. Some of the old timers plowed into bubonic plague camps and started bringing them out of there. And scientists, I gotta see, and they put both germs on. They just touched the guy's skin and they died right there. Now, faith is the brother of love. I mean, how do you get rid of the genuine article? You know, the fear that enrages and balls your heart. So fear is totally cast out. It must be some close brother to faith. I mean, faith has the fullness of that love. In other words, my God, what can it do with it? If it's generated in the heart, if you don't have any fear, then what in the world is going to stop you? I don't mean just a momentary boldness from your glands or something. You got to some tiger growled at you on a trail. He rose up against him for a minute, then ran like a rabbit. I'm talking about that changes your walk. And you know it's right if you don't have to move way up in the mountains and take vows of silence to say nice to people. Just remove yourself from them. Doesn't work like that. We were sent into the harvest for the harvest. That's how it works. So what happens if this keeps growing? I mean, is the real place to taking care of the real fear? What makes it different? What will be the outcome? Nothing shall be impossible to you. Not only the revival, but the revolt it'll cause in hell. It's not going to make any difference. The one's going to be let go. The other one's going to be stopped. Hallelujah, Jesus. Whew. Now, as I get you ready for this little teaching, I saw the most powerful force, a wave. And see, me and Tim went through a whole lot right at the same time with our loved ones. You know, two sons within 3 years or so. But we've both been through quite a lot just for... Satan came immediately to steal the word. And he used persecution, affliction, cares of this life, deceitful riches, and lust of other things to destroy the word, to steal it, to take it away. And what he's hanging around our camp. That he's came for the same thing that we have, because truth is going to get us there. But not only that, what we've done is we taught you how to turn yourself over to the Holy Spirit as your teacher. The word for teacher there, tutor, meaning this teacher is willing to take you aside individually concerning your own personal ministry and teach you. And you start praying in tongues in your car, anywhere else. Since you're not understanding what you're praying, he doesn't need you except for to drive with. What's a road? So you're praying in tongues, and the tutor, I mean, he's the fine-dressed gentleman at the chalkboard, and he's got your next place and your next lesson. I mean, even if you had no Bible and couldn't read, you can turn yourself over to him. Well, now you got a bunch of fanatics running around. We're pushing a book that teaches people how to cross all the barriers, as Jesus predicted about the Holy Ghost. If he will come, the Comforter, and he'll teach you all things. He'll receive a mind, and he'll show it to you. That's where the word come from. So we're running around the world blabbing, putting everybody's internets up. I got a page. It's gone up. It's gone all over. I'm going, Devils are following the signals back. Where is that coming from? If he came to steal the word, I don't think he likes you too well by running around preaching and teaching and reading it all about the Holy Spirit, how he can do this work in your life. I think we are one of his number one enemies on the planet.
It doesn't look like it.
Hey, when the bully has knocked the champion down on the ground, looks like he's going to win, usually all the sightseers run. They don't usually hang around and wait for their turn, maybe. They usually run. But eventually, we win. I saw this big old wave. It had a little light rim on the top to make me know it was a wave. Say, how quick do you see it? Picture. Flash, mind. I can tell where it originated. In my brain? Or was it transferred to mind from the Holy Ghost? I've learned where that comes from, and I know the difference from praying. This wave just covered like an ocean, big enough to produce a wave. And the funny part was there's a foam on the top, and you could see the top. You could tell it was some kind of wave, but underneath the wave it was dark. And I got to look at some things that was under the wave when it went up a little around. And what I saw looked like dead frogs that had half decayed, putrefaction, stench. It looked like a sewage tank. It's the size of an ocean spilled out. Only everything in it was really thick. And I saw that wave rolling out, and it took me a minute to realize it was rolling through time. And I asked him, what is this? What is this? He says, it's the religions. It's religions that have been promulgated in the world and took this death and substituted it for my life in its stead and said, now, I think it was just for me almost that I saw that, to make me understand how deadly that this thing is, why the things happened that happened. John Alexander Dowie, born in 1947, died. Now, 1847, died 1907 at 60 years old. He turned Chicago upside down with revival and got arrested 100 times and thrown in jail for practicing medicine without a license. 100 times. The meetings was massive. They finally had the first healing rooms all over the place. Come out of town, and he'd come, and they'd help them into the meeting, send back out, and they would hear word that it would build into the level that they'd get it in the meeting before the time was up. Maybe not the first night, but it said they'd build themselves up into healing by listening to this man. powerful. But somewhere near the end there, some of the ministers came and got around him and said, "We believe you're Elisha." He rebuked them. But he said a voice kept saying, "He's got to come. He's got to come. He's got to come. He's got to come." Till he finally accepted it. Because he believed that the city of Zion he built just outside of Chicago, whole housing developments, everything, that he was going to build many and buy the Jews and the Turks and the Muslim, buy them all out, and then build a large city of Zion to rule with Jesus through the millennium. He believed that. He put on a gown with a hat that was a foot high. Changed his last name from Dowie to the first apostle. He'd crawl up on this high chair on this tall hat and believe he was Elisha and the first apostle. Signed his name like that. People that loved him prayed. His final things that he said, "I had a heart attack, a stroke while preaching." Last sentence, I'm going home now. I'm going home now. I'll be back for the millennial. What happened? The angel appears somewhere and do a little dance for the person, and pretty soon they're off after sensationalism. Angels are not your teachers. They're not your teachers. I didn't know how devastating religion was to him and how deep sweeping it was. But when I saw that wave, that was the most putrefying stench, I guess, in his nostrils. And he loves people. And when he died, we were all lost. So we were in their state when he died. Nobody saved if he hadn't completed his mission. So he loves those lost people. He is just looking for a group that he can use. He wants to get this done. So I wouldn't be doing you a service if I'd have taught you the hows and to build yourself above it. If I didn't teach you also that we would not have any resistance. He will operate in the power he has here on this planet. It's limited. God gave us power over all of his. But like Alan taught, you can tell him, "Get out." But he'll keep coming back to visit the part of you that wants him to stay until you either else change out of it or run him off for the last time. Good message, wasn't it? That good message he preached. Hallelujah. So come on. Why do you think Jesus said this? "And men come to me and hate not, just love less than me. Wife, children." He said even his own life. Nutshell.
Well, why not have to hate my own life?
Because you'll follow yourself. Why? Because the only way that you can get the building material to finish your tower through counting the cost is to choose him and put him first. The only way I can love my wife and family more is by loving him more. Then I get the building material from him to finish the lives and see them all the way through. It's not the opposite. The more that I love him, the more I love them. He says, or which of you going against a king with 10,000 with your 5 will not sit down and counsel with wisdom whether or not you can defeat him with your 5, or you send an ambassador of peace by putting him first? You'll know whether to send the ambassador or go whip their britches off yourself. But either way, you're going to finish your tower. It's the only way you can love him more. To love him more, and you'll see to it.
Well, I don't love you.
That doesn't affect my faith. Say this: I have no fear. I'm on his path to where fear is eradicated. I love you, Father. And I'm going to choose you. Follow you. And go home full. Full of grace. Having followed you to the end. And saw many, many, many souls come to you as the result. 2 more minis. Many. Thank you. Let's get it right now. You don't want to pervert scripture. So as we get into it a little more, I'm certain along the way that he'll teach us more how to go into the weaponry and what happens when it becomes critical that we be stopped. It'll be good to know more about that. But I imagine he tried with every person that he's gave revival to. I imagine he's tried. But we've got a foundational key. We have a revelation knowledge gift. We have a foundation gift. What do you call it?
Praying his will in tongues.
Well, maybe I need a little orchestra backup. But I'm not that bad. I wasn't expecting that outpouring. I knew it's Kiowapanashtai. For as I'm free to move, I'm free also to move in the revelation and in my teachings and the fullness of who he said prophetic, but he said also a move. A lot of times, not understanding the early prophet's office, I didn't know that, or prophesying per se, I didn't know that I was prophesying. I'd just given a prophecy without the tongues. When I was teaching, I'd be teaching, then all of a sudden, boy, I was saying things out of the mind of Christ pertaining to now and where we were at. And I just thought, I'm really teaching good. Because I didn't hear it. Yeah, the Lord God had say to thee. And he used that on me in my training. But it would shift. And that shift. And I'd be saying things so good. I wanted to get out of my body and go, say it again, boy. Say it again. Then later, went through the giftings and prayed and understood that I was slipping over into the prophesying, which merged his mind with where we were at, both in the spirit and geographically, and the instructions and how the truth is affecting us now. So we have better than a good chance. We have his promise. Yes. Hallelujah, Jesus.